Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Great. Today, we're going local, really local. We're going to explore how communities can kind of flex their political muscles, push back a bit.
Interesting.
Right. It might surprise you to learn that pushing back against federal power, it's not actually a new thing. Yeah, it's called nullification. We're going to unpack it all. What it means, its history, and how it's playing out in today's world.
Sounds like a plan.
Our guide for this journey, well, it's the 10th Amendment Center's website, specifically their page on nullification. So get ready to discover how this concept could, empower you, get more involved in shaping your local community.
You know, it's interesting, the word nullification, it can sound pretty intimidating, almost like some legal loophole.
Yeah.
But when you break it down, it's really about the balance of power between federal and state governments and how citizens can make their voices heard when they believe federal laws are overreaching.
Okay, so it's not just some dusty legal term from a history textbook. It's about real people, real communities making a difference.
Exactly. There are actually two ways to think about nullification. One is the legal definition, where a court would actually declare a federal law invalid. But the 10th Amendment Center, they focus on the practical side, what they call making a law unenforceable in practice. Their website defines it as any act or set of acts which results in a particular federal law or program being rendered null and void under the law or unenforceable in practice.
In practice. Okay. So how would that actually work? What would that look like, in a real world situation?
So imagine a state disagrees with a federal mandate, let's say a new gun control measure. They believe it infringes on their citizens' rights. Instead of waiting for a court battle, they might just instruct their law enforcement agencies not to cooperate with federal agents enforcing that law. They might even pass state laws that directly contradict the federal mandate.
Huh.
Essentially creating a standoff where the federal law, it becomes powerless within their borders.
Now, that's a bold move. So it's like a strategic game of tug of war.
You know,
state versus federal power and the citizens, they're right in the middle of it.
That's a great way to put it, yeah. And this struggle, it isn't new. In fact, you can trace the roots of nullification all the way back to colonial America.
Oh, wow.
Remember the Stamp Act? Colonists, they were outraged by this tax, imposed by the British Parliament. And they found creative ways to resist it. They organized boycotts of British goods. They held protests. They even intimidated tax collectors, making it virtually impossible to enforce the law. Ultimately, their actions, they forced Parliament to repeal the Stamp Act.
Wow. So even before the United States was formed, communities were already finding ways to push back against what they saw as, unfair laws. That's incredible.
It is. And it really shows how this idea of local control, it's deeply ingrained in American history, Another example, it comes from the Virginia Ratifying Convention, where George Nicholas, a prominent advocate for the Constitution, he hinted at this very concept. He suggested that states might have the power to just disregard unconstitutional acts of Congress, essentially, foreshadowing the idea of nullification.
So these early Americans, they were really thinking about how to balance power, protect their communities from overreach, even as they were forming a new nation.
Absolutely. And that concern about balancing power, it's enshrined in the Constitution itself, particularly in the 10th Amendment.
Ah, the 10th Amendment. I've heard it mentioned in connection with nullification, but could you explain exactly how it ties into this whole concept?
Yeah, the 10th Amendment, it's really the bedrock of nullification arguments. It states the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people.
Right, right.
Basically, it's saying that any powers not specifically given to the federal government, they're left to the states. Or the people to decide.
Okay.
And that's where nullification comes in. It's seen as a way for states to exercise those reserved powers and resist federal encroachment on their authority.
So it's like a reminder. The federal government isn't all powerful. There are limits to its reach, and the states have a right to push back when they believe those limits have been crossed.
Precisely. The 10th Amendment, it serves as a constitutional safeguard against federal overreach, It's a reminder that the states, they retain a significant degree of autonomy and they have a duty to protect their citizens from federal laws they deem harmful or unconstitutional.
That's a really powerful concept. It really speaks to this whole, think and act locally idea we're exploring. It's about communities, taking ownership of their own destinies, not just passively accepting whatever comes down from the federal government.
And that's why understanding the 10th Amendment and its relationship to nullification is so important. It empowers citizens to engage in these conversations, you know, to hold their elected officials accountable, to advocate for policies that align with their values.
So we've established that nullification has deep historical roots and a constitutional basis, you know, in the 10th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But how does it actually play out in modern times? Are there any real-world examples of states using nullification to resist federal laws?
Oh, there are. And some of them might surprise you. We'll delve into those modern examples and the controversies surrounding them.
Yeah.
Right after the break, we were talking about real-world examples of states pushing back against federal laws.
Right.
So one area where we see this happening is gun control.
Okay.
Some states, you know, they're deeply concerned about what they see as federal overreach on Second Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
So they've passed laws that directly conflict with federal gun control measures. They might, for example, prohibit state and local law enforcement from using any resources to enforce those federal laws.
So they're really serious about this.
Yeah, essentially making them unenforceable within their borders.
So they're not just saying we disagree. They're actually putting up roadblocks to prevent those federal laws from being enforced, you know, in their state.
Exactly. They're saying, we're drawing a line in the sand here. This is about state sovereignty, protecting our citizens' rights as we interpret them. It's a very direct form of nullification, you know, in action.
And I remember seeing something on the 10th Amendment Center website about warrantless spying. What's that all about?
Oh, yeah. That's another area where some states are trying to push back against what they see as federal overreach. They're concerned about government surveillance programs that they believe violate the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable searches and seizures.
Right.
So they've passed laws restricting state and local agencies from cooperating with federal agencies on these programs.
Okay.
Some even go further. They're prohibiting the use of any information gathered through warrantless surveillance in state court proceedings.
Wow. So they're taking a stand for privacy rights, you know, essentially saying, if you want to collect data on our citizens, you better do it by the book.
Precisely. It's about setting boundaries and pushing back against what they see as federal intrusion into their citizens' lives.
Okay. And what about plant prohibition? That sounds interesting.
That's a bit more of a niche issue, but it's a fascinating example of how states are using nullification to protect local industries. We're talking about states that have legalized certain plants like cannabis.
Okay, right.
Even though it remains illegal at the federal level, these states have essentially created a legal shield around these industries, prohibiting state and local law enforcement from using resources to enforce the federal prohibition within their borders.
So they're creating a kind of like a legal bubble where state law trumps federal law, you know, at least within their state.
Yeah, in a way, yes. It's a bold assertion of state power and a direct challenge to federal authority.
It seems like there's a common thread running through all these examples. States pushing back against federal laws they believe infringe on their citizens' rights or interests. It's really putting this think and act locally concept, you know, into action.
Absolutely. And that's where the real power of nullification lies. You know, it's about communities taking a stand, saying, we're not going to blindly follow federal mandates that we believe are harmful or unjust.
But let's be real. This kind of pushback, it probably doesn't go unnoticed. I imagine the federal government has something to say about all this, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Nullification, it's a controversial topic, and it's been hotly debated throughout American history.
Yeah.
You know, there are valid arguments on both sides. Critics argue that it undermines the supremacy of federal law, and it could lead to chaos if states could simply pick and choose which federal laws to follow.
Right.
They argue that it could create a patchwork of conflicting laws across the country and weaken the federal government's ability to address national issues.
So it's a delicate balance between state sovereignty and national unity.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important for citizens to understand, you know, both sides of the argument and to engage in these debates. The 10th Amendment Center, they certainly don't shy away from this controversy. Their website, it presents a wide range of perspectives on nullification, highlighting both its potential and its pitfalls.
So it's not about blindly embracing nullification as, you know, the solution, but rather about understanding it as a tool, a way for communities to assert their rights and hold the federal government accountable.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that the balance of power between state and federal governments, it's constantly evolving, and that citizens have a role to play in shaping that balance.
And that brings us back to that think and act locally idea. It's about being informed, engaged citizens, understanding the issues that affect our communities, and knowing what tools are available to protect our interests.
Yeah.
But what does that look like in practice? How can our listeners actually get involved and make a difference?
That's a great question, and there are many ways to answer it. Well, it feels like we've been talking about some, pretty high-level concepts.
Yeah.
States' rights, federal overreach, constitutional debates. But how does this all translate to, Main Street USA?
Right. Yeah. What can everyday people actually do to, think and act locally when it comes to this stuff?
Well, it starts with, being aware of what's happening in your own backyard. Are there local issues where the community feels strongly that federal policies are, stepping on their toes?
Okay.
It could be, anything from environmental regulations to education standards.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've identified those pressure points, well, then it's time to get involved.
So we're talking about showing up at, town hall meetings,
mm-hmm.
Contacting our local representatives, maybe even joining community groups that are already advocating for these issues.
Exactly. Make your voice heard. Let your elected officials know where you stand. Remember, they're accountable to their constituents, and if enough people speak up, well, they're more likely to listen. And don't underestimate the power of collective action. Joining forces with, like-minded individuals, it amplifies your message and can put real pressure on those in power.
So it's not just about griping about the government at the dinner table. It's about channeling that energy into constructive action at the local level.
Precisely. And, the 10th Amendment Center, they provide a wealth of resources on their website to help people get involved. They offer model legislation that states can adopt, legal analysis of various federal policies, and even practical guides for organizing and advocating at the local level. It's like a toolkit for anyone who wants to, take action.
It sounds like they're really trying to empower people to understand their rights and take ownership of their communities. It's not about waiting for someone else to fix things. It's about, rolling up your sleeves and getting involved yourself.
And that's really the heart of the Think and Act Locally message. It's a call to action, an invitation to become more engaged citizens, to shape the world around us, because ultimately the decisions made at the local level have a direct impact on our daily lives.
That's a great point. Whether it's the quality of our schools, the safety of our streets, or the health of our environment, these are all issues that are shaped by, local policies and actions. And if we want to see positive change in our communities, well, we need to be active participants in that process.
Absolutely. And by understanding these concepts like nullification and the principles of the 10th Amendment, well, we can become more effective advocates for the changes we want to see. It's about knowing the rules of the game, so to speak, and using them strategically to advance our goals.
It's been a fascinating journey, hasn't it?
It really has.
We started by, unpacking this whole concept of nullification, traced its roots back in time, and explored how it's being used today to, challenge federal authority. And along the way, we've discovered how this all ties into this, this powerful idea of think and act locally.
It really shows how interconnected all these concepts are. It's not just about, abstract legal theories. It's about real people, real communities, and the power we all have to shape our own destinies.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. You've heard the arguments, you've seen the examples. Now it's time to ask yourself, how can you use this knowledge to make a difference in your own community?
Whether it's attending a town hall meeting, writing to your local representative, or joining a community group, every action, no matter how small, it contributes to a more engaged and empowered citizenry.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into nullification and the power of think and act locally. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep making your voice heard.